Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journey. My name is Kyler Cheatham, and I will be your host today. Joining me for today's episode is Christy Barber, who is a senior consultant here at Third Stage Consulting Group. So welcome, Christy.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, you bet. In today's episode, we're going to dive into what it means to control ERP overselling when it comes to a digital transformation or projects and how we control costs around those and what kind of best practices we can do to make sure that our audience is looking at controlling project costs. So definitely really excited to learn from you. I know you have a ton of experience in the finance world and then also the digital transformation world as well. So let's jump right in if you are ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
When it comes to a digital transformation project, what are some of the most important planning aspects when it comes to cost?
Okay, so I think one of the biggest things that everybody needs to start out with is having a good budget in place. What is going to make the most sense for your company to spend on it? Because ERP systems, they can be expensive just as far as software, but also looking at how many labor hours your employees are going to be spending learning the system, getting it up and running alongside with the ERP implementation team. And so kind of having a good idea of what your budget may bring. And we always like to tell people an implementation can cost somewhere like 1.5 times what the cost of the software could. And that would be, you know, bringing in all of your employees and training them, because they're going to be working kind of two jobs, not to scare anybody, but at the same time during an implementation, you're going to be doing your own day job and you're going to also be pretty heavily involved with an implementation as well.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all great information. I know you mentioned the difference between ERP and maybe a best of breed or a bolt-on application system. When it comes to looking at a project and kind of right-sizing it, how are those two things different?
So sometimes what makes most sense for a client is they need a bolt-on software because the initial components of the ERP, they don't allow you to do what you need to do. So a good example is marketing. You know, all of the softwares have a phenomenal CRM built into them more than likely, but maybe the marketing side of it isn't as robust or it doesn't showcase your branding very well. And so you would need something like a Constant Contact or a MailChimp, and that would be your outside software. And you can bolt on a third party, throwing some names out there like a Soligo, and that would bring the data from that and into your ERP system that you may need to use with the CRM, just for tracking purposes, who opened this. Mm-hmm. And maybe now they've come from a cold lead to a warm lead. And now somebody in the sales department needs to talk to them. And you can pull over data like that. Another example would be quality management software. Some of the out of the box aren't robust enough for what companies may need. And they may need something a little bit more advanced that the ERP could have, or it would be a third party bolt-on to bring in to meet their needs.
Absolutely.
And the list goes on. There's all kinds of things, sure. Even distribution as well.
Yeah, definitely. So when we're talking about the difference in cost specifically, how does an ERP suite or a bigger digital transformation, when it might come to an enterprise lens, compare to a best of breed solution? Would best of breed be more cost effective? Or what does that look like?
I think it kind of just depends. Sometimes it is, and then other times you get some better discounts and deals, yeah. And a best of breed makes more sense. I think it just is going to vary based on what you need and what's out there. Like a good example is analytics software, like BI tools. Uh-huh. It can be the ERP software has that and it's X dollars to have that additional advanced module, but you could go get a bolt-on that does just as much as it does, maybe sometimes more because that's its specialty, and bring it on and it's cheaper. So I think it kind of, you got to weigh what makes the most sense. And you also have to look, how many additional pieces of software do I want plugged into my ERP? Is it really needed? And I think a good example is, I think we see it all the time on TV right now. There's this ad and it's like, how much are you paying for all the apps that you're not using, you know, fully? And you don't want to get to that point where all of a sudden you have multiple bolt-ons and you're not using all of them to right. the fullest because one could cover that.
Absolutely. I think that's a huge consideration when talking about that, which brings me, you know, nicely to my next question. You had mentioned budgeting as kind of, you know, the important first step or preliminary exercise when you're going through a digital transformation. Can you talk a little bit more about the labor piece of it or the internal resources that I think a lot of times our clients and community can often overlook in the cost analysis exercise?
So in the part of training, and I think even from the beginning, when you're first starting your implementation, you're putting together teams. You're going to have a core team that's going to head up the implementation. You'll have some supporting teams within each department that's helping test and making sure that they're having a good understanding. So you're going to have to allocate labor hours to that. And depending on the length of your implementation, some of them are as short as 3 months. Some of them are longer, 2 years or so, depending on how complex the company is. But you're also spending a lot of time bringing over data, cleaning up data, going through your chart of accounts. And that's a lot of labor intensive in the beginning because you want to make sure you have clean books and data coming over.
Gotcha. And then that sounds like that might be something that can be done internally prior to yep. the digital transformation process. Is that correct? So even before you might select the software, you still have some controllables to make sure your project is set up for success. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yep. And you can start today. Let's say you're thinking about calling us later on next year and you're like, hey, you know what? We're looking at a software. You can start today cleaning your data. And I always give the example, you may have Home Depot in there written four different times and it's, you know, merging those documents and getting right. them down to one customer, one vendor.
Excellent. Yeah, that's just such a healthy exercise when it comes to over business strategy as well, not just for digital transformation. Shifting gears a little bit, Christy, I know you specialize a lot in our entrepreneurial or small business market. And so I would assume those clients would be more cost-centric. Can you give us some examples of how you really focus on making sure that the system fits the needs of an organization, specifically when they are really focused on making sure that it's going to be cost effective for their business?
Yeah, a lot of it is understanding what they're going to need today and not buying extra modules you don't need. So a good example of that is I'm working with a client right now. We got going in June of this year, and they're just a distribution company. They've now had a shift and they're going to be going manufacturing by Q2 of next year. Okay. We chose not to buy any manufacturing software ahead of time because they didn't know. And there's no use paying for something you're not going to need until you're going to need it.
Sure.
So they call us now and we're going to start negotiating and see what's out there. That's a good example of not getting caught up in future so far out that you're spending a lot of dollars today and you're not getting a return on it.
Talking about what that means when it comes to future state and overall ROI, what are some best practices for businesses or even expectations when it comes to digital transformation and measuring the return on investment?
I think normally you can make it up pretty quick. You can just do an analysis. And that's what we usually recommend is take how many dollars you're spending on the software, how many dollars are invested in your labor. That's a total. And then, you know, you kind of divide that out on what you would think. I think on average, we see it's some will make it up really, really quick. And I think on average, it's like 3 years or so before you start to see that ROI.
Gotcha. Well, this has been, you know, great information. I think when we come back from our break, I'd like to jump more into the actual vendor relationship when it comes to the sales process and looking at some red flags for overselling. So thank you so much again for joining me. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you are aiming for transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, define their roadmaps, and manage their transformations. With offices in the US, Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. If you are embarking on a digital transformation or business change initiative, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstageconsulting.com.
Welcome back to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast. We have new episodes every Wednesday. And today's episode, we are talking with Christy Barber, who is our senior consultant, digital transformation strategy specialist here. And we're talking about ERP overselling. Before the break, we kind of talked about what it means to budget for an ERP system or a best of breed system. And now we're kind of going to jump into the sales process to make sure that we understand how to avoid any overselling. So Christy, I think it might be helpful for our audience if you kind of define what overselling might mean from either a software negotiation or a software selection standpoint.
There's a couple things you can look for. One, like we previously mentioned, is overselling of modules you may not need or various third-party softwares to bring over data that you don't need. For example, you may have a quality software that it's going to be a standalone. None of the information ever needs to go into the ERP. And a sales rep may recommend, hey, let's bring this data over. And that's not something you need. So that's something to think about, as well as support. A lot of times there'll be an upsell of, hey, you need premium support, platinum support, all of these today.
Okay.
Do you really need it today? Sometimes, yes, it makes sense because the discount is so good at that moment. A lot of times it can be something that can be added on later and you can get the price good enough where it makes sense for somebody. The other thing is sometimes you don't need it. There's enough inside the software with the training and the support that does initially come with it during that implementation that makes most sense. That's a big one to look out for. And then some of the other additional integrations. So when you're looking at your scope for the implementation after you've already selected your software, does the implementation scope make sense? Has it included everything you wanted? Are there gaps of, oh, wait, I don't see this in here, and this is something that's going to be needed for our integration, and it's not there. So that's not necessarily overselling. It's more something to just look for that you don't want to miss out on, and all of a sudden you're spending hundreds of thousands more dollars.
Yeah, definitely all great considerations. When it comes to kind of other symbiotic relationships, if you will, can you talk about what other partners a client might work with when it comes to a software selection or actually buying a best of breed or ERP system?
So you'll have a variety of partners. A lot of times the ERP software you're going with, they will have partners that they prefer working with and they have really good working relationships. For example, I'm working with one right now with Soligo. Soligo is bringing over an Outlook. It's called an Outlook Cloud Extend, so that there's a button inside your Outlook. You can click on it and you write an email and it links right back to the customer record in your CRM without ever having to go into NetSuite. And so that's something that the implementation partner has a certain person over at Soligo who they prefer to work with. And that's who then my client starts working with. And you start seeing the same experience that you would with the integration with the implementation partner, and you get a more seamless approach to it. Other times they don't have that and they'll count on one of us to go out and vet and find a good partner for them to work with, whether it's a quality software or scan guns, different things like that.
Absolutely. And so that sounds like a lot of additional costs when it comes to partners you might work with or consultants on any sort of side. How do you manage to that?
So as far as like from a budget side of things, of knowing upfront. Yeah.
How do you make sure that you're actually getting what you really need per your point earlier?
So it's the same process as you would go through with an ERP selection. You're going to go through a small selection with these additional best of breeds. You're going to have them come in and they'll answer various questions like you would on an RFP. You'll have them demo their software. Does this make sense for the client? Have they gotten to know the client and their needs and their future needs for this software to make sense or this pricing plan? Because just like everything else, there's tiers. Mm-hmm. And you know, the middle price is always the great one to go to, sure. But you may not need that. Yeah. And by having them get to know you as the client, they can say, hey, you know what? This doesn't make sense. This, the more expensive one does, or the less one does, and this is why. And that helps. I had a client recently go through with price configurators, and we looked at three different ones before he was able to make a decision that, you know what, this one makes the most sense for me. And that's the bolt-on we're going to use.
Gotcha. And we talk a lot about kind of industry bias or vendor bias throughout this process. How can that affect the cost or the overselling of the overall system you decide to purchase?
I think it kind of comes down to the same thing. You got to vet them yourselves as the consultant and help direct the clients. If they're coming in with X amount of dollars and you've seen it as a different price, or you want to do a due diligence and get a second opinion like we do with most things, I think that helps a lot of just understanding, hey, this is going to sit in the right price point.
Right. And so it sounds like, based on what you're saying, hiring an independent consultant or someone who has no, you know, backing or kickbacks within the actual process is really kind of the advocate, would you say? Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that, you know, something that a lot of times this seems overwhelming, you know, the entire process. So can you talk a little bit about kind of your role or third stage role in helping to make sure that a client isn't experiencing an overselling scenario? Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of the due diligence part of it, even in the beginning of the selection. And I'm sure everybody that's listening to this, you've heard multiple podcasts about our methodology and how we do things. And there's certain points within that that we're always checking. Does the vendor know what our client needs? Are they looking from a future perspective? Are they looking at unique idiosyncrasies about the client? Are you going to be big on mergers and acquisitions? Okay, if so, we need to make sure there's certain clauses in your contract for that. There's helping with price locks and renewal caps and various items that, even though we don't provide, you know, law specialty, whatever you want, legal advice, that these are things that we can help bring up and you can take to your legal team.
Absolutely. That's, you know, really important to kind of consider that. And for our listeners out there, we did have a great Digital Stratosphere podcast with Marcus Harris, who actually is an attorney that helps with our software selection negotiations. So definitely a little bit of homework there if you're looking for more of the legalese side of it. I wondered, Christy, if you might give us some red flags to show that your project might be on track to really blow your budget.
Oh gosh, yes. I think the first part of it is looking at the scope, when the initial scope of when you're still in your selection process, that the vendor may bring back and they're listing all of these things that may not align with what your client needs. And usually that comes back to there's a miscommunication somewhere, that they weren't hearing what they needed or something wasn't there. And kind of then as the consultants, you know, speaking with them, getting it back on track, that's one thing. You'll see things that, oh, well, this wasn't in the scope, and all of a sudden it's a change order. And now we're 20 change orders deep during an implementation. And these things should have all been included in the beginning, and or they may have said they were, again, like a miscommunication thing. But I would say for everybody, make sure when you're looking at your scope and taking it to your legal team that those main things are worded in there. And so you don't have change orders, because change orders are expensive.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And when it comes to, speaking of change, when it comes to incorporating something like organizational change or maybe a less tangible hard science piece of your budget, is that something that you, from a cost perspective, recommend that clients include upfront, or is that kind of a secondary cost associated with a digital transformation project?
I kind of going back and forth on that. I think it would be in the beginning. Yeah. I think it should be part of it from day one. I can see why some people put it on the back side of it, because there's so many things you're focusing on in the beginning, but really it's just as important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that that's something that a lot of times we learn from our colleagues here at Third Stage, is that's a lot of times what's missing in the transformation and causes like a triage type of project or a project health check that we, you know, come in and help with. Something I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about too, in the emerging technologies that we've seen kind of as a trend that we've been talking on our sister podcast, Ground Control, about is just emerging technologies and how those might affect the cost of a digital transformation project. Can you give us your thoughts on that?
So you looking more like how AI is coming into things and
or how it seems like a lot of times we have this huge migration to ERP cloud or cloud solutions. And a lot of times we have kind of a debate within our industry or in our digital transformation community of, is that actually cost savings? Because a lot of times that's how it can be pitched to clients through vendor communication. But thinking about it long-term, and as someone who's an expert in project costs and finance, I wondered if you had any feedback or thoughts on that.
I can see how that would come up. I think sometimes when it's a very large implementation, it is very, very expensive, and your return's not going to be seen right away. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be a lot of times when you're on a larger one. So good example, a client right now that they are multi-location and multi-companies under one umbrella, one parent company. Mm-hmm. And so when you do an implementation, it's going to be phased. So you're still paying money for existing software, you're paying money for the new software, and you're paying labor to learn and operate on both. So for that, I can see there's a large cost.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, I think that's something that might be interesting to kind of watch from a finance perspective for us, right? As mm-hmm. this trends of, does something like an emerging technology, to your point earlier, is that kind of a bolt-on that you actually utilize later per your kind of manufacturing example? You might not need it right now, so a more lean and cost-effective product, mm-hmm. or is that going to be kind of more cost-saving just because of the automation? And I'm not sure we really like know the answer to that yet, you know?
And the same thing, you'll have bolt-on, or you'll have out-of-the-box modules and advanced modules in the same software. Does it make sense to buy the advance because the price would be X today? You may not use it for a year.
Right.
Or do you say, hey, you know what? This already comes out of the box. I'm not paying anything for it. When I get to the next year, I'll evaluate if it meets my needs. And if not, I can purchase the advanced.
Yeah. And would you say that that might be another reason why to invest in a consultant or an mm-hmm. independent partner? Because they might be able to address that, because it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a pretty unique scenario per each situation.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just bringing in our own expertise can help save you a lot of money that you're not wasting.
Absolutely. And save you from a potential failure where you do have to call someone like Third Stage to say, like, I tried to do this internally, and it turned out I wasn't aware of these hidden costs. So thank you so much for all of this great information. Is there any other extra tips you'd like to share with our community here regarding budgeting or project costs?
I think always just do your due diligence. Make sure you're really reading through your contracts. There's a lot of times that there's errors in them, and just by reading through them multiple times, that will save a lot of headaches.
Gotcha. Definitely being, you know, really, really thorough on reviewing those types of things, so there's no kind of loopholes that vendors may be able to put you through or anything like that. So, well, thank you so much, Christy, again, for joining us. This was such great information for all of our listeners out there. Christy is a regular on our YouTube channel and on our podcasts. So please go check her out. She mostly specializes in our small business entrepreneurial clients and has their own playlist on our YouTube channel. So once again, thank you everyone for listening. This is Digital Stratosphere, the podcast. We have new episodes every Wednesday, so please feel free to subscribe to our channel, and we will see you next week.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.